Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a CatSource family production. In this episode, we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles, gaming, and the Canadian Football League. Our guest today is Andrew Johnson, founder of Supreme Level Media. Andrew is a former professional football player in the Canadian Football League. He was drafted in the fourth round to the Edmonton Eskimos. Here, he was part of a Grey Cup winning championship team in 2015, one of the greatest CFL teams of all time. After an injury forced him out of the league, he decided to pursue a new game, entrepreneurship. Andrew brings perspective of a former athlete, current entrepreneur, and motivationalist, and you can use his experiences and inspiration to help you with your business. Because of Andrew's ability to achieve in sports and in business, we're excited to have him on the podcast. Let's get into it. Andrew, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspectives podcast. Great to have you.
Thank you, man. How are you doing today?
We're doing excellent. Excited to be talking to you. I know you got a great story to share, so let's get into it.
Absolutely.
So we're going to start with some more thoughtful questions and then end with some rapid-fire questions. Ready to get started on this?
Yep. Let's do it.
All right. So what was it like running out in the field as an Edmonton Eskimo?
Okay. So that one is pretty special for me because, you know, I grew up in Edmonton and, you know, I grew up as one of the guys that, you know, a lot of people were very shocked by. So, you know, I was a late bloomer. So a lot of people didn't really, you know, see me play, haven't really whatever until my last years in high school when I really started making a name for myself. And, you know, in my last year there, I won league MVP. I took a school that never went to the playoffs and took them to the, you know, the championship, like the, I guess, the state final for people in America, the provincial final in Canada. We won a city championship, which is pretty cool. Unfortunately, we lost the final game. But, I mean, even getting there was, like, the first time the school has ever been there and they went to the final game. So, you know, it was really cool. And then taking that, playing for another local team after I graduated, because even though I was the league MVP, so the best player in the league, I had zero scholarship offers that were offering me a position, scholarship at my position. So I only had two offers. One was like not even a tenth of what would have been my tuition cost, and that was from my local city team, and it was to play another position. And then the other one was across the country in a school called University of Toronto, where they wanted me to play DB. So I wanted to be a quarterback, at the very least receiver. No one wanted that. I went to a local team, did that, and, you know, my story really blew up because I was a kid that no one really, I guess, watched or paid attention to except for himself. And, you know, I spent a lot of time alone training and a lot of time grinding. I actually flew across the country on 5 days' notice, trained with the best trainer in Canada, and then, you know, 3 years after that, I got drafted to the Eskimos, which is my local team. And so it was like the story was complete. And, you know, I reached a nice point when we won the championship later that season. So running out, it was so much more than just being like a football player at that point. It was like you're a symbol of hope in a city that a lot of people don't really believe in themselves in that city. So it's almost like you're a symbol of hope. So it's nice.
Yeah, I can't imagine the emotions that must be running through you. So, like, you run out in the field, and obviously you start to do this more and more every single game. You're running out as an Eskimo. But, like, how do you control your emotions? Like, realizing, like, oh, my goodness, like, after all that I've been through and all the doubters and all these things and all the training that you had to go through, and then, you know, a few minutes later, there you go, kickoff, right? And you got to control yourself and play the game. Like, how do you ready yourself for that moment?
So unfortunately, yeah, like my first year, I played in the first two games and then I actually tore my MCL. So I missed a ton of the season. By the time I was healthy again, I mean, you know, the guys were like, we were like 14-2 at the time, like, you know, or 12-2, like we weren't making any changes. So I ended up not playing the rest of that year. And then like I was saying earlier, we had a little chat before the next year started, I actually cut my finger off. So for me, it was more along the lines of, you know, thankfully, like, thank God, I appreciated every day I went out there. Like, every day I touched the field, you know, and I do this every time I was playing football. So it's not just because I was drafted. But, you know, it's one thing I know, especially when you play a sport like football, even that practice, that could be your last time on the football field. And I think a lot of players don't really appreciate that. And they treat each day, even though they're like, oh, I don't want to go to practice, and oh, I don't want to do this, or oh, I don't want to do that. But I think a lot of them don't really appreciate the fact that tomorrow the game can end. Like, you can get hit, and you can tear an ACL. And I think people, because they see all these athletes come back from it, realize, oh, that's easy, I can come back. No, it's an extremely debilitating injury, and a lot of people can't come back from it anywhere near what they were prior to it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, you know, it's I'm sad I didn't get to play more, I guess, if I look back, but I'm just extremely grateful that even for the practices and having, like, the teammates I had, you know, it kept me in it, and, you know, I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you live in the moment, like you're present and you're aware of the great thing that's happening. And if something bad happens, and we'll get more into that, you're not going to dwell on that part of it. You're going to look at, well, what new opportunity exists today, and how can I take advantage of it today? Because as you probably know, disruptions ahead, challenges and obstacles are ahead, right?
Oh, of course, man. Like, I mean, that's life. Like, nothing is going to be easy in life. So once you kind of realize that it's always going to be hard before it becomes easy, then it just makes taking on a new challenge or learning something new, which I try and do every single day.
Yeah.
But it makes doing those tasks very easy.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get a little bit more into about you. You heard the opening statement, but we can't do you justice in that, just that one statement. So tell us something real about you the audience wouldn't know.
Let's see. I mean, I really love to inspire other people, so I take a big passion in that. I speak a lot to my Instagram, and I try to inspire others. But, I mean, something the audience wouldn't know about me would be I'm a huge gamer. So, you know, a lot of people think, you know, I mean, like, I'm a football player, and, you know, I work out a lot, and, you know, I love to have fun. I love to go out, you know, to the club. I don't drink. But, you know, I love to go out, have some fun, dance, you know, let loose, whatever. But really, I'm just, you know, I'm a gamer nerd for sure. So even right now, in fact, on NHL, I'm the top player in the world this month, and I'm like top 12, or I'm 12th overall right now.
Yeah.
So I go pretty hard in games. FIFA, tops in the world. Madden, I've been tops in the world. Like, Gears of War, I've been tops in, like, top 100. Halo, I've been top 100. Halo 3.
Yeah.
So, like, even COD, I've been pretty high. So, yeah, man, I go pretty hard in the games when I want to sit down and play.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Well, the one thing that's so big right now is esports. Have you done anything in that world?
Oh, man, I can't wait for that. Like, NHL especially, I'll 100% make the esports, whatever esports NHL team they have, whatever esports league they have, I'll pay whatever fee to be in that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm the best CHL player in the world, and it's pretty funny because because I hardly play, and even this week I beat the number one player. He actually runs for me online. And so I started talking a little smack on the messages because I'd see him in the lobby, and then he would always leave back out of the game. So if we get randomly selected, he just leaves. Because
yeah.
Once you hit the top, like, 25, if the top, you know, you and another top guy are searching for a game, you're going to hit each other because not many, like, the top 25, they play often. So they tend to play each other more. And
yeah.
So they just recycle, you know, the people up there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he doesn't play me. The number two guy doesn't play me. And the number three guy doesn't play me. In fact, the top two guys haven't even played in, like, 3-4 days because I've been going hard.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I mean, because gaming is so big right now. We see it all the time. Like, there's just business being, you know, built around esports. And here you are, you know, obviously you love competition, and you know, wherever you can find competition, it sounds like you're going for it.
Yeah, it's actually part of my morning ritual right now. So in the morning, like I said, I'll get up, I'll meditate. So I'll do a walk around my block. There's actually this garden pretty close, so I'll meditate in the garden for a little bit, and then I'll come back, you know, I'll meditate again for probably like 10 minutes, and then I'll go in the hot tub, same thing, you know, go in the sauna, same thing. Shower, I take a finish with a cold shower, 5 minutes, and then I come upstairs and I'll play a game of NHL, and you know, I'll win.
Yeah.
That's how I start my day, man.
Yeah, yeah, just don't, you can't get upset though in the morning, that could set you off on the wrong foot. But it doesn't sound like that's happening.
I mean, yeah, I have an extremely high win ratio, so I mean, it doesn't happen. And if it does, I mean, that guy earned it. So it's just one of those
That's
things.
Right.
Okay, you know, I caught an early L. Let's just win the day.
It is so. What it is. There you go. So, yeah you've...
Seems like I'll play another one, man. I'm not going down without swinging. So.
Right. Well, that's awesome, man, because you got the morning routine going, and it's just going to set you up, like you said, for your day and to have success, which you've obviously had a lot of. You've also had some setbacks, and you have alluded to it a little bit ago with your injury that you had, while you were playing football. So tell us a little bit about that story of your injury and how you dealt with that personally and then business-wise.
Well, so dealing with the finger issue, I mean, like I said, a week after I just had, you know, the mini camp, you know, at least for me, like it was the best like 3-day performance I had, and you know, I did really well over. Week later, cut my finger off, and you know, going through that was really, it was like a mental mess up, because it's like, you obviously, I visualize every day. And so when I see myself consistently running out, you know, catching a ball a certain way, running in the end zone, and then it actually happens in real life, those visions just become more and more clear. And so, I was feeling on a big high, cut my finger off, and then next thing you know, your whole thinking changes. It's like, okay, I can't even write my name right now. So what I did to keep myself in it, I actually went and bought a ping pong table, and I taught myself how to play ping pong left-handed. I taught myself how to write left-handed. I taught myself how to throw football left-handed. And, you know, it's funny because, like I said, all those little things that a lot of people don't realize, like your human will to just want to be better, it really drove me to keep pushing. And then that's when I really started seeing, because I can't really do much. You know, I have one hand, so I started surfing the internet, and I just started seeing, like, a trend of, okay, I'm starting to see these things called sponsored ads on my feed all the time. And, you know, this is like June of 2016. And I'm just seeing all these sponsored ads like popping up. And these aren't big brands anymore. This isn't Nike. This isn't SportCheck on my thing. This is like, you know, Jim's local bakery or, you know, whatever. And they're just they're just on my screen. So I was really starting to look into it. And then come December of that year, me and my business partner were like, you know what? Like, we've been looking at this and we're starting to see more. This is a huge opportunity. No one's really doing this. And, you know, we just decided to learn how to do it. And we were going to do it for us. But then we decided, you know, it would be sweet if we kind of practice more with someone else's money. That's our original thinking. And so we started a business. And, you know, we knew what we were doing. We had, like, a lot of good insight. And it just led perfectly into it. So once I was training later that year, come like March and April, I actually had another injury in my forearm. So the tendon they repaired after I cut my finger off, the flexor tendon, I re-tore it. So they're saying I have to get surgery again and all this. And I couldn't even hear that because it's very mentally draining bouncing back from these injuries. And so I decided, I had to retire. But it wasn't all bad because I found a new sport I was competing in. And the thing with this sport is, this is a universal sport. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your size. It doesn't matter your speed. It doesn't matter your whatever. All that matters in the business world is are you relentless? You know, are you going to give in or are you going to, you know, put up? And, you know, that feeling, that attitude that, like, you don't know where your check is coming next, it's exhilarating. It's awesome. Like, I have a ton of fun with it, so... you know, moving away was tough. The injury was tough, but I want to be able to write my name, you know, with a pen come 10 years from now. You know, I've already dealt with tons of other injuries. I tore my PCL, both MCLs. You know, I got ankle surgery. I have no shoulder labrum. My hip labrum's, like, still torn. So, like, I just have a lot of, like, issues that are, you know, some other issues that kind of made it easy. Because a lot of people don't realize, like, what you battle when you play. And, you know, it just gets washed and put under the water. So, you know, it's looking back,
And now look, here you go. And like you said, you just found another place to play your game. And that's what it's all about. And going back to what we were talking about before, you know, finding yourself in the present and not looking back, only looking back, you know, with all the lessons that you've learned along the way and having, you know, great respect for all the things that you did and what other people do in that. And so I think that's something that anybody can learn. And obviously, we talk a lot about entrepreneurship here. I think any entrepreneur or any budding entrepreneur can listen to your words. Obviously, you like to motivate people, and we can hear that. And when you're talking about everything that you do And we just love that. You know, we love that. So overall, like your transition, you make the transition, you go into business. Like how did it go? How did it go early on? Was it frustrating or was it all just positives? Like you're going to make this thing happen because you know you can.
I'm not going to sit here and say there wasn't moments where I was like, damn, like this is kind of tough or this is whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're always going to get that. Like, and this is what I always tell people, especially like I have some clients I still train, personal train. And, you know, I tell them all the time, like, no one's going to care. No one cares. No one cares if you're not happy with what you're doing. No one cares if you're frustrated. No one cares if you're annoyed. The only people that will care are your closest people to you. No, the world does not care. So you have to make the world care. And how do you do that? Well, you got to help more people. So if you can impact more people that will care, the world will eventually care about you. And you got to find a way to bring them value first. And how do you do that? Like, to me, it was a business. And so for me, it was just super simple to all take all those frustrations and be like, all right, like it's not them, it's me. When you realize you're the master of your universe and everything you see around you, like everything around you, Eric, everything.
Yeah.
You created it to be there. And when you take that responsibility upon yourself, that you recognize that, that's when you can truly grow. And for me, that's what really took hold in my life. And I learned that young. You know, I was abused when I was younger, like just like emotionally just rattled. You know, my stepmom put me and my little sister through hell. And it's one of those things where you look back and it's like, I know countless other people who would fold in those situations. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's a reason I was placed under those situations. Everyone has a choice. Everyone has a decision. You don't have an excuse to make the wrong decision. That's weakness. And you can push that out in your mind. And I'm a big believer in that. And, you know, I used to be very scared. I was a very shy, insecure kid. And then you realize that, you know, that those are all those insecurities. That's all in your head. No one cares.
Yeah.
No one.
It's so well said. I mean, we talk about all the time. I mean, you look at people, they have their situation. They don't like this about their life. They, you know, they might have a really great job, but they don't like certain aspects of that job. And they focus on that and they complain about it. And it's like, you have a decision to make, like you're saying, right? And those are people that are in a good place. And then there's people who aren't in a good place. And it's like, everyone has a situation. Everyone's going through stuff. And it's like, what are you going to do about it? And that's what you're saying. And I mean, like I said, it is well said. And we appreciate you bringing that onto this podcast. And there's just so much opportunity that exists. And you're seeing that, right? Like you're on the football field and probably people are like, well, he's a football player and he can't play football anymore. So good luck to him. What's he going to do now? And you're taking it to the next step. You're like, it doesn't matter where you put me. You'll find a way to make it happen.
Yeah, I can go to any jungle and I'll come out a lion and I'll come out. And that's just how I feel. And at the end of the day, I disagree with you to a point because I have so many people in my corner who have believed in me and who have literally followed me since I kind of started really going after when I was 15, like just going after any, like just my dream of anything, just to be better, just to make it out of this situation, just to change. Like I want to change the course of, you know, football in my city. You know, I want to help other kids in my position who can't find, you know, affordable trainers, for example, or affordable access to a mentor, you know, because I remember I was desperately seeking any trainer who would go any, like I saved up time and time and time. And then I go and pay a guy and it was the worst decision I ever made. Like I basically threw a couple $100 out the window that as a kid, you know, at 15, you know, my mom still to this day doesn't make more than $1,500 a month. Like she's physically disabled. She's raising four kids. So I never saw more than like, I barely saw three digits ever in my bank account. And even when I had a job, every time all that money was gone. And you know, saving that money and giving it to a guy and him not getting the results, that's when I made like a pact to myself that I'm going to change it. And I actually documented every single, like every workout I did from 15 on, somewhere in my house, it's written down. And I went through some of the old ones I wrote down, but I created a program that for me is just, it's lights out. And I put some other kids through it, and these kids, like, all of them saw massive, massive gains. And honestly, that's what I live for, is impact more lives, because I'm going to impact millions of lives. And when you walk around and treat yourself as that type of person, your outlook on the day is different. If you look at, you know, Nelson Mandela, if he didn't think he was a powerful person, he wouldn't have made it through 27 years of being in prison. If you look at, like, you can look at anyone great in history, if even they might have thought they weren't great before, but once they realized how powerful they were, they never shook, like, they never shook of that belief. And it shows in what they, like, you can look at even Bill Gates, for example. I mean, like, there's tons, Steve Ballmer, all these guys, like, they got in situations where they were, it was very less than favorable, but they consistently bet on themselves because they believed in themselves and how important of an impact that they alone could make in this world, even if it was to inspire someone else to be, you know, the next Gandhi or whatever. Even though it was to do that, they knew they made their mark, and that's how I live. It's about legacy. So even if I'm inspiring, you know, the next Calvin Johnson, I'm training some freaks right now, even if I'm inspiring the next one of those, you know, that would mean a lot for me because, you know, I'm helping someone who grew up very similar to me, didn't have a lot, and didn't have a lot of people to believe in, which is possibly the biggest thing. And, you know, it's exciting to get someone that belief that they can do anything.
Yeah. Well, and you're just doing the right thing in those situations, right? And you can't do wrong if you're helping that next person become whatever they're going to become because of all the motivation, all the things that you're doing for them, because you realize that you've been through it too. So that's amazing. And So as we look into your business now, what is the ultimate goal? What is your focus first? And then what is the ultimate goal for your business?
Okay. So focus right now is, focusing on growth. So, right now we're just looking to actually, we've just hired about like 6 people. You know, we're making some big moves. Like I said, just closed a pretty big client the other day. You know, just trying to help as many people as I can, but also keeping that quality high. So it's a very fine line. 'Cause of course, you know, we could go and sell 100K worth of contracts, let's say. And, you know, are we able to fulfill those orders? So it's just like, you know, if you run an e-com store, if someone orders 1,000 products, but you only have 500, you know, you're left with, you know, you got to really speed up that back order, and then that quality takes a hit or they're waiting. So right now we're in this time where we want to order only high quality products, AKA I only hire the best. I only outsource to the best. If they're not the best, then I don't take on clients. I just pass them on. I'll send a referral. I'll send whatever, because for me, if I can't get it and I can't reach it, it's just not in me to, my clients trust me a lot. And that's one thing I build up with them is because I only surround myself with the best, and I make sure my clients know that. And, you know, especially in the negotiations, I make sure they know that they're getting the best, the absolute best from me. And it makes it a lot easier when, you know, I can tell them, hey, you know, I can't do that. Maybe you should look into someone else. And then it allows me to charge more for being an expert, and, you know, and then I can deliver expert-like results. So that's my focus right now, is growth and finding only quality people. And the ultimate goal for the business is, you know, I wanna take my vision for how I wanna train athletes and how I can give back to athletes. I wanna take that across Canada through some digital means. So I actually have an extremely cool program coming up. I can't share too much on it. I've actually been working on this idea for about 2-3 years now. 2 years? It's coming up on 3 years. It'll be 3 years in like February. And it's pretty sweet that the reason I really am excited about going into this business of like creating funnels and memberships and whatever is I get to do cool different, I get to create a whole new type of business, if that makes sense. I can reach people in a whole new way that is going to change the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have a lot of different things going on, it sounds like, but you have the time for it because you have a clear mind with everything that you're doing and have a true focus in what you're trying to accomplish. How do you get the word out right now about what it is you're doing? Obviously, you've met a lot of people along the way. What's the way you tell your story and people get to find out that you're good at what you do?
So number one rule of business is always pick up your phone. Like if you're running from the phone, you're not a business, or, you know, you're not, I don't know, like there's something about you that feels insecure about the product you're selling if you're not picking up the phone thinking a client might be disgruntled or whatever. So for me, always being available to everyone, whether it's a random off the street who just wants to talk and needs advice, because the way I see it is, you know, and it's a very famous line, it's like in sales, everyone's a client. You know, I can give someone great advice on how to, I don't know, run a bakery, and you never know. What if 6 months later they're like, hey, I have a person who needs some X of what you do. Would you be like, you know, I want to introduce you. Great. Thank you very much. And then you give them a little extra incentive for doing so. You send them, you know, some money saying, I thank you for thinking of me. Here's a token of my appreciation. Boom. Next thing you know, you have a nice little partnership. They're going to be thinking about you a lot more. And so for me, that's what I focus on, is just being available to people. That's mainly it. That's all I really trusted on. I have a few lead generators that kind of go out. They'll edify me, and I'll speak to the client. Starting to hire more sales agents, but I like to keep it all commission-based, so it's getting a little harder to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's picking up, but I have quite a few who actually believe in the team. In fact, one of them is a prior owner of ours we were working with. He is a gym owner we were working with, and in, like, 4 or 5 months, we actually accounted. This gym, keep in mind, has been around for, like, 5 years. And in 4 months of our advertising, we accounted for 25% of their membership base. So he sold it. Like, it was a huge influx in business for him. And he sold it to a franchise. And now he hit us up and he's like, hey, guys, like, honestly, you guys, like, killed it. You really helped change, you know, my future. I want to know what I can do to give back. And, you know, if you guys are open to giving me a kickback, I have a ton, or treat me like a sales agent, because I have a ton of friends and business in this city who need this service, and I can go close them myself.
Yeah.
So we're bringing him in to go close other business owners, and he's like literally a walking testimonial. And all he says is, you just send me in there to close. That's it. That's all I do is I'm a closer.
Yeah. Well, so, it's funny too.
Pretty excited to get him going.
Yeah, I would imagine so, because it's not, like you said, it's not easy to find people in sales that are willing to eat what they kill, as they say. And that's important to find that person who believes in it. And you're just talking about having the confidence and believe it in your product, which will lend itself to everything that you're doing, including picking up the phone. It was funny when you said, you know, always being available. I always said, just be the most accessible guy. Like, you don't have to be the smartest guy in the room, but if you're the most accessible and then you know what to do from there, it's amazing what you can accomplish just by being available, as you say, to the people that are trying to get a hold of you, because you don't know what you can do from. They don't know what you can do until you obviously pick up the phone, have a conversation, and take it to that next step. And, you know, it's as simple as like in football, as you could compare it to blocking and tackling. Like, yeah, you might have all these dynamic things going on there, and you can speak better to this than I could, but it's just blocking and tackling. Sometimes it's the basics of those things that make the biggest difference. Like, you play receiver, I'm sure if you can block for the running back that's coming behind you, like, that's a big difference in the game, and it might spring the running back loose for a long touchdown run if the receiver didn't make that block. Oh well, you know, it's sometimes the simple things that people overlook, and they focus on the wrong stuff, where if you were just accessible, if you're just available, if you just made that block, like, it could have changed everything in your business.
Exactly. And it's funny, I'll say this quick, my old coach in college, he kind of changed my life with it, because I used to be, you know, I want the ball, and that's why I love playing quarterback. Every play I got to touch the ball. And then when I moved to receiver, I was like, man, I'm not getting the ball enough. Like, this is annoying. I get really frustrated. And what he said to me was really remarkable. He pulled up a stat, and he's like 98% of receivers spend about 85% of the game not touching the ball. And when you realize, like, 98 or 85% of the offensive plays, not even touching the ball, not even handing it to the ref, nothing. Like, they're just not even touching the ball. And it's because at the end of the day, if you're playing 70 snaps, you know, unless you're getting thrown the ball to you, you know, 25, like 15 times a game, you're not touching the ball too often. And so when you realize, okay, I need to be good when my time comes for sure, but that 80% of my time, 80% of my focus needs to be on the little things. How can I trick this guy into moving where I want him to move, to set up, to do other things? And just like you said, the intricate stuff, the little details, that's what really sets apart a lot of players.
Yeah, and it goes right into business just the same, just like you're doing. So when I call you answer the phone. So yeah, that's great. So in our business, and we kind of keep with the football thing going on here, and one side of our business, we have the insurance side, and we talk about disruption a lot, disruption in business. And there's disruption in so many different ways, whether it's government, whether it's competition, whether it's an injury in sports, whatever that might be. one of the disruptions that you've probably seen, and you've, you know, been around quite a bit in football, is concussions. And as a former player and someone who's around the sport still today, do you see disruption coming to different football leagues as the concussion stories just continue to mount?
No, honestly, I don't. And here's why. Like, at the end of the day, people A, love watching. And I've never been diagnosed with a concussion, so I'm like, you know, I'm the lucky. Maybe it might have had one, but I haven't been diagnosed. But the whole thing about concussions, and I mean, I don't think people realize how often it happens in other sports. Like, if you want to, before we even talk about taking, like, changing football and whatever, the reason why, in my opinion, I feel like they want to make a lot of those changes, and trust me, like, there's a lot of big hits, but, like, look at hockey. You're literally skating on skates that you can move, like, what, 30 miles per hour when you go top speed, and you're running, people are running and dropping elbows in people's heads. Like, Sidney Crosby's had a couple of concussions that were so bad, like, he didn't play for hundreds of days. So, I mean, there's danger in every sport. There's obviously a ton of danger in football. I don't see it being disrupted to the point of, like, it's going to fold. I think there will be some new type of, I don't know, technology, and maybe there'll be, I don't know, like, they got to think of something. Maybe they got to look at, like, how the CFL has a yard difference on the line. Maybe that'll help those guys a little better, and I don't know. I just don't see a disruption being too big. It's just way too big of a sport. There's way too much money in it.
Yeah.
Well, way too many people in America play it.
Yeah, I know, and it's an opportunity for people to play a sport like that and to make money, to you know, further themselves in their career. And you make a really good point early on about how other sports have this. It's just football is so big right now, and it's the top story. And so if someone does have a concussion, or there's a big story behind the concussion, it leads to so much more. But when they do the studies and they say, you know, girls soccer is one of the number one places for concussions, riding a bicycle leads to concussion. So like you're saying, it's just, it's not the number one topic. It's like shark attacks have been going on forever. It's just the media is really talking about it now because it got bigger and it was a big story. So it lends itself to becoming more of a topic that everybody outside of the media wants to talk about as well.
Of course, yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, NFL, there's just so much money. It's on all the time now. Like, they have Thursday games, which are dumb.
Right.
It's just everywhere, so.
It really is. I mean, there's that story, too, with Richard Sherman I saw, where he wrote the article about how Thursday Night Football is a joke, and then sure enough, he goes on Thursday Night Football and ruptures his Achilles tendon and is gone for the year, and you know, that could impact his career. All about something that none of these players seem to want to play in, but, you know, they're paying the bills and making a lot of money, and they're going to do, I guess, what they're told, which is unfortunate.
So here's the thing. And I hear a lot about they're making a lot of money, and I get it. They definitely are, but it's like, one thing the fans all need to know is it's not guaranteed money.
Right.
It's not like when he signs that, you know, 7-year, $100 million contract. None of, like, he probably has $20 million in guarantees. You sign a contract like that in hockey, you can sit down and not play again and you make $100 million.
Yep.
Like, nothing.
Yeah, changing. NBA is the same.
You can
way.
Do the same in baseball, NBA. Like, Gilbert Arenas literally walked away, and the Wizards were paying him like $20 million a year for 3 years.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, when I say they're making a lot of money, I don't mean the players. I mean the actual, like, the ownership, the front offices.
Oh, the owners,
the teams are making the money. So they're saying, yeah, we'll play on Thursday night because we get this extra money. The players are getting the raw end of the deal because they're risking injury. They're risking their career. And, you know, I think the negative from the on the ownership side is the bad product that they put out in the field, because these guys aren't ready. Thursday night, it changes everything. Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're boring. They're so boring.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, man, where it's just, like you said, you know, it just has you realize that the NFL, you know, I played pro sports, I played in the CFL, and it just shows you that it's a job. And, like, although it gets glorified and although it gets whatever, there's a lot of people in this world that hate their job, true?
Yes.
And so why do they hate their job? Because they get forced to do a bunch of stuff they don't want to do. Now, people glorify it because they're being paid millions, sure. But, like, just realize that there's scale to everything. And although, you know, they might be getting paid $30 million, they hate the fact that they got to go out there or else they're not getting paid. Like, they hate it, and it should be changed. But just, like, you know, when you work for a boss you don't like, aka, you know, how a lot of these players feel about the NFL, you know, that's just not getting changed, man.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a wonderful job. It looks great on TV and, you know, you're a star, but it's a job.
Yep.
And that's what always kind of drew me away from it, is I don't like working for other people.
Yeah.
I need to be an entrepreneur.
You're an entrepreneur.
I need to work for myself.
Yeah.
Because I know the guy that I'm playing for, if I'm playing football, I'm the one risking my body. Mm-hmm. And the guy, you know, that sits upstairs, you know, or watching from home, you know, his mansion, he's not risking anything. He's making way more. And that's in every job, mm-hmm. which is what had me, you know, get away from jobs.
Yep.
Like, I don't really stick with...
You want to call your own shot and go off
exactly.
your own routine. And if you fail, it's because of something you did. If you succeed, it's because of something you did. And you live, you're risking it for yourself and everyone around you.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. So, as you know, we have a content platform called Sportspreneur, and in it we create analogies between sports and business. We just love talking about sports. We love talking about business. We put the two together. And one of the articles we had is about short-term memory and how it can help your business. And, you know, kind of compared it to a cornerback, for example. So you're the receiver and you burn a cornerback. Well, you know, not far after that, the cornerback's going to have to go on the field and look at you again and know that that could happen again. He has to have, as they say, a short-term memory. But that applies in business as well. So being someone who actually played football and someone who's now in business and knowing that you can go out and see a client and it could be a bad appointment and it could lead to nothing or it could lead to something negative. Like, how do you rebound from that? I think we already know a lot of your answers are going to be around this, but I still want to talk about it. You know, how do you handle the negatives and having a short-term memory in your within like the day-to-day type of stuff? Like I said, like if you go to that appointment and you don't get the sale, how do you overcome that? How do you move on?
Well, I mean, the way you got to realize, like, you got to be in business and in sports is no two plays are going to be the same and no two owners are going to be the same. No two situations are going to be the same. So you got to treat everything as brand new. If you go into the next play, like let's say you got clamped by that corner. If you go into the next play, like, oh, I got clamped by that corner. Well, what's that going to lead to? What are you telling? I'm a law of attraction guy. So what are you telling the universe? Well, you know, to plant me again. So instead, what everyone has to do, whether it's in business, whether it's in sports, is you got to realize, yeah, just because you want to play, that doesn't mean anything. Just because I closed one business owner, you know, last night, that doesn't mean anything. It means I won that play, you know, or it might have meant that we won that game. But guess what? You know, there's another game.
Right.
So you got to practice and you got to build up to it. And you got to get back in the game. And so when you kind of realize that, you know, that the machine, it's a machine that you're in, like almost like a system. It just allows you to stay fresh. And like you said, short-term memory, everything. Like you can't get hung up on the highs, you can't get hung up on the lows. That's why I operate. I don't know if you've heard of Tai Lopez and have took his 67 steps, but I have, and they're incredible, man. One thing he talks about is, you know, living life in a 4-6 plane. You never get too low, you never get too high. You keep your emotions in check, and it allows you to operate on a more intellectual level rather than relying on on emotion to make quick face decisions that probably aren't, you know, for the best.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say Tai Lopez. We have a business partner in Raleigh, North Carolina. When Tai Lopez was in the insurance business, they worked with him. And then to watch him, you know, he did really well, obviously. And now it's like he's, you know, the motivational, inspirational type stuff that he's working on now. And I see him everywhere and people bring him up. It's funny to hear because I remember, I don't know how many years ago it's been, maybe 10, 15 years or so, they were doing this insurance thing with him. So it's pretty amazing stuff. But like you're talking about, you know, just move on to the next deal, move on to the next play. And I think you say it very well. Now, I don't think you have a lot of fears in your business life or life in general. You've overcome a lot and you have a lot ahead of you to achieve. But, you know, I think every entrepreneur, every business owner does go to bed at night and maybe think about a couple of things like, man, I hope that doesn't happen, or things that keep them up at night. If you were to say it, what is your biggest fear in your business life?
You know, it's tough, man, but I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm not afraid of anything, man. Like, I've been through it all, so, like, I don't know. Like, I've slept in a train station before, I've slept in my car. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Like, we're in Canada, we're in the U.S., what's the worst that can happen? So the business folds, and I'm left with absolutely nothing. Let's say theoretically, and this isn't going to happen, but let's say theoretically I did get moved to the street. you know how many shelters that, like, if you're smart and you really want to put and you're driven, it doesn't matter what obstacles come your way because you see the finish line. You know what I mean? And you just got to navigate your way to it. You just got to stay self-aware. You got to look at yourself, look at the systems around you. Are they designed for you to win?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, you're going to win. And so for me, I my biggest business fear, I mean, you know, to, I guess, I don't know, for me to, like, get big, like, bigger than we can handle, I guess. And I don't know, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I can handle it. I have a lot of mental.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Doing really well, so.
The answer makes sense. For everything that we've talked about and everything that we know about you, like, that answer does make sense. So you saying, I don't want to be that guy. That's okay because that's who you are. It involves itself with everything that you talk about. You've overcome these battles, overcome these adversities. You've done these different things. You're growing your business. You're growing your career. You're helping other people. What is the worst thing that can happen? You know, we tell that to people then when they're interviewing with us or in any business, or if I'm giving advice, think about though, it's the worst thing that can happen. Now, if you can live with that, then make that decision. But if you can't live with it, then you know your answer, right? So what is the worst thing that can happen? And then move on from there. So realize your fear right away. Say, man, if that's the thing that's going to happen to me, I can't live with that. Then you know what your answer is. But, you know, you saying you've seen more than most people have seen already than they've seen in a lifetime, and they might be 70, 80 years old. And here you are, and now you have this whole life ahead of you to do these amazing things. So I get it. I get you saying, like, what is the worst that can happen? And I appreciate that honesty around it. I know our listeners do. I know John, who's spoken with you quite a bit, John Priori in our company. So we really appreciate all that you've done. I know it'll motivate a lot of people, and you know, we'll continue to watch what you're up to and continue to be a fan of what you're doing. It's pretty awesome. This podcast episode of Entrepreneur Perspectives is brought to you by CASCM. CASCM helps you, the business owner, engage with your audience like never before. CASCM partners with business owners like you to help you create your online presence through content marketing, which includes website development, content creation, content distribution, and social media management. From developing your story to execution, CASCM engages your audience. This is CASCM's passion. This is what CASCM does in its own business, and CASCM is excited to bring these services to you. Want to learn more? Simply visit CASCM.com. That ends the more thoughtful questions. We're going to move into some more of a rapid fire round and get started. You ready to go?
Yep, let's do it.
What book are you reading right now?
Good to Great.
Good to Great. It's funny. I'm looking in my office right now and I see it out of the corner of my eye. How are you reading it? Do you have it on book, on Kindle, on Audible?
Yep, I have it on book.
Okay.
Hardcover.
What is your, I'm sure you like them all, but what's your favorite social media network?
Instagram.
Yep.
I love Instagram, man. It's a ton of fun.
What social media app do you not like?
You know, I like them all. One that kind of has me a little, I don't like Twitter. So I don't use or have Twitter at all.
Okay.
And I won't use it, yeah.
Yeah. What is it? Just like too much noise in it?
It's just not personable. It's just like you're writing lines to it. Like, I don't need to update people on what I ate that day, and I don't need to update people on how I like feel about, I don't know, like food.
Yeah.
So it's not the best way to reach someone, in my opinion. I feel pictures are worth 1,000 words.
Yep.
And so I don't know. That's how it is for me.
Yeah, no, I get it. That's why Instagram's done so well. I do think there's ways that you can cross platform. So like if you and I now have a conversation and we take it to Twitter, it's a good place to carry on conversations maybe around other topics. But yeah, I mean, I think the way a lot of people use it when they stand up at the mountaintop and just scream and tell things that people don't care about, I think that's kind of what you're talking about, and I would agree with it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
If there's a true one-on-one or group engagement within the network, then I think that's where Twitter has a ton of value, besides the fact that you can just go and grab some pieces of information or news that are out there. But yeah, the standing at the mountaintop and just screaming and never engaging with someone, that's... yeah, for the birds, if they will, as they say.
Yeah, for the birds.
Yeah. So if you were to look at your phone right now, what's the app, what's the one app that's most important to you?
The phone.
The phone itself.
The phone app.
I love that answer.
No, the phone app, like the app that says phone.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. The little one on the bottom there.
Which is exactly what you're talking about before. Don't run from your phone. Answer it.
Yeah, always.
Keep it simple. All right. So you're an up-and-coming entrepreneur. You got a lot of good things going on. What's the one thing you would tell another up-and-coming entrepreneur to focus on?
Just exactly what you're saying earlier. Focus on the moment. Focus on that one. Especially if they're a new entrepreneur and they have all these different things they want to do, focus on the one that's paying you. Like, just focus on it, you know, push that as vertical as you know how to get, and then go horizontal. And then take that as vertical as you can get, then go horizontal. You know, you got to, the thing with being an entrepreneur is you got to know systems, you got to create systems. Entrepreneurs are creators. And when you realize that, that's when it becomes a ton of fun.
Yeah, makes sense. I like it. All right, so I know there's many, but who is one person that has helped get you where you are today?
I mean, obviously, you know, I'm going to drop my mom. I'm going to give my mom a shout out. But one person who's dealt with me a lot this year, and, you know, we've had a lot of moments, but, you know, I'm thankful to work with my business partner. Like, this guy, he works his butt off, so definitely super thankful to have a guy like that on my team.
Okay. And what's one thing you would tell someone when making a career change like you did?
To do it.
Just make it happen.
If you're thinking about it, do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you live one life, and if you're not even the main character in your own movie, you need to rewrite your movie. You need to start right now.
Yeah. How did it feel?
Yeah, a lot of people wait until they're comfortable and, oh, sorry, yeah.
No, you're good.
Comfortable and they have X amount of money and they have X amount of, like, people think you need to have this masterful business plan to start a business, and you can create a business plan for 10 months and then guess what? The whole business needs to pivot because X might have happened. So if you have an idea and it makes logistical sense on paper, you should go start it right now and see how you can make the best of that situation before someone else does. But if you're trying to start a business and something done, if you're trying to open a Blockbuster, you know, of course that's silly. If you're trying to open a FedEx, I mean, I hate to tell you, your dream might be to, you know, run a successful FedEx business. But I mean, the more inclusion of drones as the world goes on, if you want to build a business that spends time, like, FedEx is not going to be that route.
Yeah.
So something like that, in my opinion, is just like, just go with the trend, hop on a trend before it's a trend and build a business around it.
Yeah.
Hop on it before it becomes, you know, mainstream.
Yeah. Well, it's hard, you know, in the stock market, for example, they always say you can't time the market. It's the same thing in business. You know, it's so hard to time the market. You can't wait for the perfect opportunity. You just have to go and do it, as you're saying. So completely agree.
Exactly. And keep that relentless attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. So you're a Grey Cup champion. What did that feel like?
Mm-hmm. Man, it was incredible. Like I said, you know, that's my childhood team. You know, I grew up, and unfortunately, I didn't play in the game. But, you know, being a part of one of the greatest teams in CFL history, knowing that, you know, I was part of one of those guys, it's incredible, man. And, you know, it's just a sign of the type of work I put in, day out.
Yeah. I would imagine it's got to be an amazing feeling. So do you follow I'm sure you do. You follow the NFL as well?
Yeah. I mean, like, here and there, I've been following the CFL more recently because, you know, Eskimos are about to win it again. You know, shout out to them. But
yeah,
I do follow the NFL.
Okay. So you said the Eskimos, is that the Eskimos are going to win it again? So that's a foregone conclusion.
I'm calling it right now.
That's right.
All right. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm playing Calgary. I hate Calgary, but one of my best friends is, he plays for Calgary. So it's just one of those things where it's like, I'm still 100% choosing my teammates, but, you know, I want my buddy to do well. So
I get it. So in the NFL, is there certain teams that you like to follow or certain players that you're a fan of?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's a ton. I like Jameis Winston and Mike Evans. So Tampa Bay is probably, you know, my squad right now. I used to be a Detroit fan. But, you know, I like there's a lot of young guys that came in who are just crushing it.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting watching them.
Oh, the talent level is insane. Do you have any predictions?
Through the roof, right?
Yeah. Do you have any predictions this year? I mean, it's so good that the competition is so even and there's so much parity and these guys are so fast and strong and all those things. But do you have any predictions this year for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, so I'm thinking the Rams are going to play the Patriots. in the AFC, or not the Rams, sorry, the Titans are going to play the Patriots in the AFC. And I really think Marcus Mariota is going to take him to the Super Bowl, man. Like, they look really good. And yeah. He looks really good. As long as he can stay healthy. I know he's banged up big time right now. As long as he can stay healthy,
yep.
they have a good chance. And in the NFC, I like Philly. You know, I used to be a big Philly fan. So, you know, I got Philly and I got, you know, maybe the LA Rams.
Yeah.
With Philly playing Titans in the championship and the Eagles winning their first Super Bowl.
They'll be pretty excited. That's a good prediction. I like having the Titans and the Rams. The Rams look really good right now. Everyone, you know, it's like you look at Jared Goff, and experts were just wrote him off. Like, he was a bad pick and bad quarterback, and now look at him. So, shows you how much they know, right? As someone who, you know, grew up playing football, and I'm assuming we talked about this before, a lot of doubts about what your talent was, and here you go, and you get the opportunity to show them what it's all about and make it happen.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I want to let you have the final words of encouragement for the audience, and then follow that up with how people can connect with you, whatever works for you.
So just like I said, final words, just stay doing it. Whatever you're doing, do it. If you don't like what you're doing, stop doing it. It's literally that simple in life. Stop letting other people make decisions for you, whether it's your mom, your dad, whatever. You know, none of those people should be able to stop you. The day before I got drafted, my mom told me to stop playing football. So if that's any indication of and who was the first person I thanked and said I'm so thankful for, you know, it's my mom. So at the end of the day, if someone says you can't do it, they either love you too much and they don't want to see you get hurt and they think they know the answer. They don't. You know the answer. And if you believe in yourself and you meditate and you visualize, that's the answer. Go to that. Go to what you like doing. Find a way to monetize from it. There's millionaires that make hats for cats. So anything is literally possible in this world. Just go do it.
Yeah.
And where can you find me? Definitely Instagram, like I said. Andrew Johnson, AJohnson411 is my @. And you can find me on YouTube. I'm under Millennial Motivation. I don't have many subscribers on there, so I mean, you might as well catch the wave of the knowledge before it kind of, because you know how these guys get, you know, and I'm not going to be the one to do it, but you know, people already think once you get a lot of subscribers, the quality waters down, like it's different. But you know, check it out. I'm dropping some bombs right there, so if you want to listen, Millennial Motivation or AJohnson411 on Instagram.
That's awesome. We're going to put that in the show notes. Definitely going to get some new subscribers for you on YouTube. And Andrew, I really appreciate it. Appreciate the honesty, the stories that you bring to the table, the history that, and all the things that you've been through. I appreciate it. I know I've learned a lot. It's been great to talk. I appreciate the time that you spent with us on this podcast. And just really enjoyed it. And thank you very much.
Absolutely, man. Talk soon.
Andrew, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From his ability to never give up and always focus on the present, Andrew is a great example of how to achieve success in everything you do, even gaming. The perspectives he brings as a founder, former football player, and passionate entrepreneur are now perspectives you as a business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself. And for that, Andrew, thank you. And for any business owner looking to learn more about Andrew and his story, I would encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can contact me on Twitter at @Eric_Kaz or the same name on Instagram. Or you can find us at KazSource.com with links to us on the different social networks. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.